Well, welcome back, guys. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince, and we are back for another episode of Uncomfortable. We're so excited today to talk about a very uncomfortable situation called abusive church leadership. Now, this is a very touchy subject. And guys, I'm going to let Vince give the public service announcement because, as always, we definitely want you to understand the purpose of this show is to stir up conversation. Vince?
Yes. So, okay, before we really dig into this, we do definitely want everyone to know, because this can be a very, very touchy subject, it is also a place where a lot of people may have experienced hurt from the church. We are not telling you what to do. In any manner are we saying do this or do that. All we're trying to do, like Kirk said, is inspire conversation, to bring up these things so these conversations can begin, these uncomfortable conversations can begin to be had by church leadership, by individuals in the church, and cause people to, again, seek the Lord and go after the word to seek counsel and seek wisdom, and also to seek people who could offer you counsel and wisdom in a situation, because each situation is unique. And with that said, I will dive into it. So the one issue, and it especially comes up a lot more now, Kirk, is the fact that we are having people that are screaming they're an abusive situation and that their leadership is abusive and it's toxic and it's horrible. And the problem is, there's that little thing that you signed up for when you started to work at the church and you collect your paycheck. Oh, what's that called? Oh, yes. Expectations of what they wanted you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they hold you to those expectations, that is not abusive leadership. That's doing your job.
That's right.
That's just doing what you're supposed to do. Listen, any place you work at, any place you apply to, they're going to sit down. You look at jobs on Indeed or any other job hunt website, they're going to put on there what they expect of you. They're going to say, this is the things that we want. This is the things we can offer. This is what's going to be expected of you. This is your daily or whatever they have on there for you. These different things like that, right? And so when you go somewhere, that's what they're holding you to. So you can't cry that the leadership is abusive if they're simply asking you to do your job. A great example of that is, you know, you sign up to go be an associate pastor or youth pastor or something like that, right? And something that does fall within the purview sometimes is, hey, our regular people that come in normally to clean the church aren't able to come in this week. Could you run the vacuum through the halls, vacuum the sanctuary, or can you clean the bathrooms? That's not an unreasonable expectation. That's something reasonable to ask of you. Or, hey, we just got a shipment in. It's all hands on deck. Everybody's going to help bring the boxes in from the trucks or whatever. That's not an unreasonable expectation. That's part of the job, right? So things like that, that's not abusive leadership. That's just normal everyday stuff. That's just what's expected. Everybody chip in, everybody help out, everybody do your part. So things like that, you got to know, Kirk, I mean, working where you work, there's some things that when you started, they're like, okay, these are some things we expect of you, right?
Oh yeah.
And they there's expect discipline you to if do you it don't. Every day.
Yeah. There's discipline if you don't get it done. And
wait,
I think
there's discipline if you don't get it done.
Oh yeah. What? And here's the thing. No. I mean, here's the reality. Not everything, whether it's in a employee/employer relationship or even pastoral/church leadership to someone who is in the congregation relationship, not everything's mm-hmm. abuse.
It's true.
Because there is something called accountability. You know,
why are you cussing?
You know, the word talks about how we're supposed to be iron that sharpens iron. So if I'm the iron that sharpens Vince, first of all, I better be very sharp because he's pretty witty. Yeah, so I've got to be very careful with Vince because, I mean, otherwise he'll come back so fast I won't be able to do anything. But here's the deal. You know, if I'm supposed to be the iron that sharpens iron, there's moments I'm going to have to say, Vince, you're not supposed to be doing that, brother. And there's other moments that he's going to look at me and say, Kirk, aren't you supposed to be more in the Word? Or I don't believe that's the interpretation of that. Or this, we call each other out on areas where we're out of line, that we don't match up the reflection of the gospel. Why? Because we love each other. It's not because we're trying to be ugly. It's not because we're looking for political gain. It's not because we're trying to embarrass the other. It's just like a child that tries to put his hand in the fire, that the parent smacks that hand away so that they don't injure themselves. In the same way, when we love our brother or our sister, we will give them constructive criticism to try to help improve them for the best that they can be. We want them to succeed. We want them to be the best version of themselves that they can be, but we can't do that if we keep our mouth shut and we always try to be one that tickles the ear.
No, that's, you know, Kirk, you said it perfectly in that aspect of accountability, and there's sometimes that we need to be corrected.
Absolutely.
Look, when you show up at the place, you're not going to be perfect. You might be good at what you do, but you're not perfect. And there's sometimes, especially if you're serving the vision of somebody else and you're working somewhere else, when you two first get together, there's this learning curve, right?
And it's not
comfortable. When you get together with a new organization, it is. And there's some uncomfortability, and you got to learn how they work, and they got to learn how you work, and you guys got to mesh together. And sometimes you got to be corrected. And it's not always this harsh, like, correction. Sometimes it's just, hey, listen, I don't know if this is how you used to do it where you were, but that's not how we do it here. This is what we do. This is how we handle this. That doesn't mean they hate you and there's something wrong with you. It just means, look, we need you to adjust your style to our style.
That's right.
Because you're now a representation of us and how we function here. You're not
a
free agent. Right. There's a standard that we uphold, and we need you to raise up to that standard. So they're calling you to account in that aspect and asking you to do the work that they're needing you to do and do it at their standard of
Absolutely.
Working.
Absolutely.
If not, guess what? You have the right to part ways with them. And that's okay. You know, I mean, look, now if you're there because God said to be there and you decide, hey, I want to part ways because I didn't like being corrected, that's something you need to take up with Jesus. But as far as the
way
we
have a way of saying that back in the South, it says, that's on you, brother.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's just what it is.
There's some other ways they say that. Even in the church, you know, you get the, indubitably, you're going to get the, oh, bless your heart.
But this is old Pete Bickin' Heart. I mean, that's one I used to grow up with as a Southern boy. You know, the old little old women would say, bless his old Pete Bickin' Heart. You're like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
They're like, I've gotten the, oh, bless your heart. You just don't know yet, do you?
You know, like, oh, wow. God bless our grandmothers, but sometimes they say things and you're just like, what? Anyway, we digress. But
yeah, so that's totally, absolutely correct. And we're meant to sharpen each other and get better.
Absolutely.
But let's begin to break into some of the subtles and nuances. And we're not talking about the kind of abuse where the things where necessarily we have to get people arrested and there's legal things that necessarily come into play. Those absolutely, that's a completely different standard. And that needs to be addressed in that manner and handled in that way without a doubt. So we're talking about more of the subtle ones that we don't always pay attention to that, if not checked or dealt with, can eventually lead to that stuff, usually later down the line.
And I would say sometimes these things sneak in as like the spirit of Jezebel.
Absolutely.
It's the spirit of control where a leader is trying to use some sort of control over their congregation. It could be out of fear of losing people. It could be
is motivated from fear.
You know, it could be out of the fact that they have a issue with their own pride and they feel like they're the one that has to be right because they're the leader. But I mean, just a little service announcement for any leader who has that mentality. guess what? We're all human and we all are wrong at times. And God will humble us if we become prideful. So it's,
well, yeah. And then there's sometimes too, where you get bothered, you know, you have somebody that comes at you in the wrong way and you're like, excuse me, who do you think you are? You've been here 5 minutes. Why are you trying to act like,
well, yeah,
you know better than I do?
And that's the other thing.
Which isn't right either.
It could even be a minister who's using the pulpit in a passive aggressive tone to bring correction.
That
is not the way to bring correction. You know, there, if you know of someone that's in the middle of some problems, publicly outing them is not the way to do it.
No.
You know,
and listen, pastors, if you're out there and you're using your pulpit in that way, please sit down for a little while and get your own self right. And and I'll tell you one that personally happened to me. I was sitting in there and I had things that were being told about me from the pulpit, and I had to sit there with a smile on my face, not because I was like, oh, look at me, I'm wearing a mask, but because I had to wear the smile so I didn't wear something else. And for a while, you know, you sit there and you just take it and you take it. And then after a while, you have to be like, listen, why are you saying that stuff? And things like that only increased, and people were being turned against me and my family when we said, all right, the Lord is telling us that it's time to move on and go to a different location, in a different city even. And they're like, well, no, that's not right. Well, the pastor, because they knew my wife really well before we got together, they pulled her in for a secret meeting. Said, hey, if you don't want to go with him, we'll help you. Will help you to reestablish your life. He can go, you can stay. Coming against our marriage in that way. I mean, there's several other things that were said that I won't even dive into. And they were turning people against us. People who used to watch our children no longer even wanted to really communicate with us at all. And we had to go to church, man. It got to a point where we're to show up on the grounds of church. We had to pray like we were going to a secular place, because we were going to war every time we showed up at church. But, you know, the key factor in that, and I tell you this, and this is where that fine line comes in, Kurt, between just packing your bags and leaving really quick, excuse me, and doing what the Lord says. He said, you need to wait it out, and you need to leave this place with a blessing. And I was like, God, this doesn't make any sense. We're being, like, mistreated in a really bad way. And he said, just stick it out. So we did, right? We stuck it out. We got to the end. They didn't want to do it the way the Lord said, but eventually they did. And the Lord took over, and out of their mouth came blessings the same way. It was so similar to the Balaam incident where,
wow, that's amazing.
He was going to speak curses over Israel, and instead he spoke blessing. And that's what happened with us. And we left. And it was years later, God was reminding me of this. And he said, son, do you understand why I told you I had to leave with a blessing? I said, no, sir. And he said, the reason is, if you had left any other way, you would have carried that offense with you for years. And you may not have ever let it go completely.
That's powerful.
So by leaving with the blessing, not only were you continually surrendering what they were doing to you to me, but you were also leaving with the blessing that has endured for the last... Now, I mean, I'm looking at 20 years ago or so, or not even almost 20 years ago now. I'm looking at a blessing that has continued to operate and function in my life because of our obedience to God, even in abusive circumstances. So, look, if you're in a situation like that, and like Kirk said, we're not talking about, I mean, I said it earlier, but we're not talking about the really harsh stuff, but we're talking about these situations where people might be just abusing their power or trying to be controlling of people. It's because they're afraid or whatever, they're being manipulative. Don't just up and leave because you're offended. You still have your responsibility of seeking the Lord and asking him for a strategy.
That's right.
Because you have to be able to walk away from that and still be able to function. And still be able to trust the Lord and still be able to do the things that he's called you to do. And you can't do that if you're walking around with a fence.
Absolutely.
It's like walking around with a backpack with 100 pounds of bricks sitting on you.
Oh, yeah. And here's the other thing, guys. I mean, there's all types of scenarios where you can have offense. It could be somebody in the congregation that starts stirring up stink about you, and they put a bitter taste in the pastor's mouth. And then it could be something like that. Or it could be maybe your own attitude causes someone in the church or the pastor or someone else to have a negative feeling towards you. The thing is we have to be open to correction.
That's
if
true.
God is, beginning to speak to you and speaking through your leaders and trying to give some direction and correction or redirection, we have to be open to those things. If we always holler abuse and we never look to see what could be the causing factor, sometimes we generate our own problems. It's not that we initiate it all, but sometimes we're such a component within the equation that we miss the very healing that we need. Just like you said, even though you didn't start the problem, within the body, whatever it was, people begin to talk about it. It generated buzz, but you had the opportunity to run off. And if you did, you probably would have been offended for years. Mm-hmm. Because you were obedient, you were allowed to walk out in healing, walk out in grace, walk out in mercy, in freedom. And so then you no longer would carry the burden of that offense for the rest of your life or for years to come. And the same way, if we allow ourselves to have the moments of correction and direction in our lives from the Lord, whether it's directly from His presence or from those that lead us, then we can circumvent moments of our life to where we'll end up being like the children of Israel in the desert, having to go around the desert for 40 years waiting for the junk to fall off of us. How many times, Vince, do people not allow themselves to get the junk out of their lives and they have to go chase their tail around the desert of the situation until God removes the junk that's holding them back?
Well, yeah, I mean, think about this. How long do you want to sit and sulk in that? And
absolutely.
Look, the enemy would love nothing more than to turn you into a victim. Because if he can turn you into a victim, he can keep you trapped in a hole, and then he can just begin to dump more on you. Then you can get addicted to something, and then you could find yourself lost for years, and then you've got guilt and shame, and anything else that he could put on you, he wants to put on you. And that's not what... Remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to bring life and life more abundantly.
Absolutely.
That's John 10:10. So... look, follow the strategy of the Lord. Now, I'll say these, and we got to put this in here too, because it's such a sensitive topic, and it is something that is so prevalent and exists in the church today. Leadership in the church, look, pastors out there, if you are in a situation where your leadership right now, if you're not the senior pastor, is treating you in ways that are like this, or you find yourself in a, they like to say nowadays, a toxic situation, toxic leadership, right? If you're in a toxic or abusive situation, seek trusted outside counsel.
Well, I would also go as far as saying, don't find people that are going through the same problems you're having, but
no.
Seek those who have already had victory and are walking in victory. You don't need someone that's going to champion you in the problem. You need someone that's going to help lift you out of the pit.
Exactly. And that has the foresight of saying, or not the foresight, the hindsight of saying, look, you too, this too shall pass. You also will be able to make it out of this. You know,
Real quick, I want you to finish that thought, but also it keeps you from becoming the one that says it's only their fault. Because sometimes,
yes.
I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes the person that's claiming victimhood has a little bit of play in it, even if they don't want to see it. But when you bring that third party in that's had victory and they have the Holy Spirit, they can say, well, I see what you're saying, but have you considered this? And if you conquer this, you're going to find victory faster.
Oh, actually, I could definitely testify to that. Not too... terribly long ago, we were having this conversation, and we were going through something that was kind of crazy and a wild situation. Kirk, I told you about that one.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody really close to me says, because I was just expressing how I felt about the whole situation, and they said, all right, I understand how you feel. I know you're venting. I know you're hurting.
That's right.
But you have to be responsible for your actions. You have to be responsible for your emotions. You can't let those overtake you. You can't let this take you down a really dark road. You need to go and release that to the Lord and get it all out.
That's right.
And then handle things that need to be handled in the proper way, in the proper manner. And I'm gonna be really honest with you, Kirk. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear, you know what? Hey, go do what you got to do.
It is what it is sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to hear correction. We don't want to hear direction. We don't want help because we want to sulk. We want to bathe in it. We want to get our feelings all in it. And we want everyone to understand and validate our opinion. But the reality is in Christ, our validation is not the important thing because we died with Christ and we were buried with him. And we were raised in newness of life on that third day when he rose again. So as dead men and women, we do not have the right to complain, to be frustrated, to, you know, bathe in the junk. Why? Because all of that was buried with Christ when he died on the cross. So now we live in victory through him. If we truly chase and are going to embrace the victory that he's given us by grace, we have to move beyond the offense. We have to move beyond the junk, be able to accept the correction, and move forward in the victory he's given us.
Now, I'll say this, a couple things. Number one, that was just rude, Kirk. That was just totally rude to put that out there and stomp all up on my feelings and everybody else's feelings like that. You know, the other thing was this. It's like, in saying that, we're not giving justification or defending those who have done wrong to us or to you. What
That's right.
We're saying is that we're individually accountable for our own actions and decisions and how we handle things. And so
Absolutely.
Even though my people like me and my family and those involved were the ones that were done wrong to, God still, through this person that gave that correction to me, it was a loving correction. It wasn't like, you're wrong, you dirty sinner. It was just... is a loving, hey, you need to make sure you're in the right place. It's they did it, and it was from such a place of love. It was like, man, look, I don't want to see you end up in a dark spot.
That's it, man.
And so even in the middle of our pain sometimes, we got to stop and look at where that kind of message is coming from. And is there love behind it? And if it is, they're seeing us possibly heading into a place that's not good. Now, look, I'm not saying that what you're going through might not take some time for you to heal and get away from what you're dealing with or doing and take some time off. That might be necessary and even get some kind of rewiring in your brain to be like, this is not normal. This is not okay. And I need to find a healthy place to be. Even counseling sometimes is necessary to talk through things.
Absolutely.
And get and process it out. But in the meantime, we have to, and I'm talking fresh off the, so to speak, fresh off the boat from this experience, this last experience, we need to be willing to begin the process of forgiving people and walking away from it the same way that Jesus did. Right. And I'm not saying that you're going to forgive everybody, like absolutely forgive them deep in your heart, like you have no issue with them tomorrow.
That's
I'm
right.
saying that you begin saying, I forgive them now. And that the more you say it, the more you put it out there, the more you're actually verbalizing it, the more you give God ammunition to begin to dig that pain out of your heart and actually bring healing and victory where there was a place that the enemy tried to bring victimhood and close you in and steal everything from you.
Well, think about it like this. I mean, when you give God that permission, so to speak, right? You're yielding the borders of your heart. just like a country that said, hey, I need help. You know, I need you to send some soldiers to help me. But you got your borders locked up. You got your soldiers set up saying, kill on sight. I don't care who it is. But you just asked for help. You just asked for help from a foreign entity to come in and give you assistance, but you're not even letting them cross the border to help you defend your border. Mm-hmm. So when you begin to invite God in, like Vince said, you give him permission to cross into your borders, permission into your life. So he has an easier access to bring in that healing balm to begin to satisfy the need that you have, to bring the correction you need, to sometimes bring the uncomfortable discipline that you may need. We've all been there. We've all been in the situation where, and it's not even sinful situation sometimes. Many times it's where you're not in the position he desires you to be in. He's like, son or daughter, I want you to be closer to me, to hear my voice clear, but you're not positioned to where I can speak to you clearly because I'm whispering, but you're a mile away. And if you allow yourself to remain in this offense that's been generated by this situation, then I cannot bring you to a place of healing to where you can hear my voice as I whisper your name.
Yeah, and as you're hearing this now, and if that's you and you've been hurt and you've been offended and you've walked away because of it, and you just walked away and have not given it a second thought, you know, we pray for God to bring healing to you. We speak healing and wholeness and health over you. We pray that God helps you to deal with and overcome that and not become that.
Absolutely.
You go through things and you're not meant to become them. You're meant to overcome them. And so if you're stuck in that place of offense and hurt and pain, we pray that you would allow God in to bring healing to those situations in your life so that you can continue to serve the Lord in the way that he wants you to serve him. And look, if they did wrong to you, then they're wrong and God will deal with them. And it'll be one way or another. I mean, we're already seeing it. If people are continually doing wrong, people are being exposed from stuff that happened 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
Because they tried to cover it up or whatever it is or whatever it could be. So God has a way of dealing with his people in ways that do not match what we want or how we want. Because we have our certain way. And there's a lot of times I'm like, Lord, look, if you want me to be the tip of the spear to bring vengeance, I'll be more than happy to be that tip of the spear.
Oh, brother. with you. I mean, sometimes it's not our way or the highway, no matter what we want. You know, sometimes we just want it our way. We want the toast toasted on the side that we want with the butter and the jam, you know, or apple butter if you're from the South like I am. You know, it's just you want your biscuit just like you want it. Now, but the reality is
such a Southern term.
I know. If you don't allow God to bring healing in your life, nothing's going to get improved. Now, be that as it may, guys, one of the things we want you to take away from this conversation is not to look for abuse in your local body. What we want you to receive from this message is, one, pray over your situation. Number two, leaders, pray over your congregation. You know, we want both the congregants and the pastoral leadership teams to be aware of what's going on within the church, within the body, within the local house, not because we want people to be exposed and hurt and pain. We don't want that. We want healing. We want restoration. We want people to be built up within the local body, within their local church, and within their homes. And we desire for each one of you to function as a unit so that you can help build each other up. Because we're supposed to operate as a body. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are mouths, and some of us are eyes, some of us are the ear. So we need to function as a unit, right, Vince?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, but if that's you and you need somebody to talk to, look, if you, like I said before, if you're a leader and you're in this situation, you can contact us, man. You can email us, you can shoot us a message, and we'll be more than happy to connect with you dig more into your situation, help you walk through,
pray over you,
whatever it is you're going through, and help you to, if you just can't see if it's actual abuse or you're just not sure what's going on, we're more than glad to walk with you through it, pray with you through
it. Absolutely.
And help advise. And even maybe if it's not us personally, try to connect you with someone who would be better for that situation for you.
Absolutely.
We're not that big on ourselves that it has to be one of the two of us.
Exactly. So. And there's a chance because both of us are from different areas and we have, you know, we may possibly have someone that's in your local area in our network. We don't know. We can't guarantee it, but we might. And so guys, we love you. We're praying for you. Please let us know. You can reach us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also contact us from the contact page. If you would like to support us, you can go to the gift page. But most of all, know that you are loved, that you're being prayed for, and that we are praying that God blesses you, restores you, and brings healing to your heart in Jesus' name. God bless you guys.
Later.